This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Amanda, over the last weeks, we've seen just historic numbers of people in the streets protesting police brutality and racial injustice. And sometimes we associate music and protest songs with a moment like this. What's inspiring people at these events?
David, have you heard a song that's been going around called "You About to Lose Your Job"?
Not yet, I haven't.
Yeah, you're going to love this. It's a very short viral clip of a 27-year-old Black woman named Janiqua Charles. And she was temporarily detained in Dillon, South Carolina, by a security guard who was patrolling the parking lot outside of a strip club. She was trying to get back inside because she'd left her bag in the DJ booth. And he's handcuffing her, and she basically dresses him down for detaining her for no real reason. And the refrain of the song is, of course, "You about to lose your job."
You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. Get this dance. You about to lose your job because you are detaining me for nothing. You about to lose your job.
She does an extraordinary dance. The security guard starts laughing. The song has since been remixed and spread across the web as this really kind of celebratory, defining jam of the moment. For me as a listener, I've been kind of toggling between wanting music that energizes me and excites me to protest, and then music that I find really comforting and kind of contains some joy that I can cling to in a difficult moment. I'm curious which approach you're taking with your listening.
Music keeps me alive. I mean, really, it does. No kidding around. And whether it's a kind of the mellow tone of Lester Young's saxophone and Billie Holiday singing to it, or The Chronic, these things are essential to life. I don't know what I'd do without it. I mean, it's like imagining life without food or drink.
I agree completely. It's a lifeline, and I'm grateful for it. And on that note, let's close the program today with an essay by Donald Antrim. It was published around the shutdown, and it speaks to the question of what music can do at a time like this when we're not seeing family and friends. We're not getting out the way we used to. Antrim's piece is called "Music Will Be Important." We've adapted it for radio, and here it is read by Russell G. Jones.
We're all spending some time alone now. I once spent the better part of a year by myself in my apartment. It was 2016. I was not in quarantine. I was sick with what we and our doctors call major depression. I would rather call it suicide, which I see not as an event or a deed, but as the natural ongoing outcome of trauma and isolation. And though at times I functioned, I nonetheless could not bring myself to write or read much or cook for myself or exercise or open the mailbox. I let the mail sit until the mailman, unable to fit all the flyers and bills and tax notices, emptied the box, wrapped everything with a rubber band, and left the bundle on my entryway floor. The problem was terror. Problem was that I was not safe. I'd lost my sense of belonging and lived in abjection, lonely, cut off, trying not to die, but working just to stay alive. Maybe at some time in your life, you've hidden yourself away, scurried past the mailbox, let the phone ring, if it rings at all. Maybe you've distanced yourself from friends or lost them for good. What will happen to you if you go outside? And we like to say that we're wired as if we're computers or electrical grids. You know, my wiring is shot. She needs recharging. He's in shutdown mode. Another thing we like to say is that music soothes the savage beast. The expression is a misquote from the playwright William Congreve, who in fact writes of the savage breast, not beast. Music has charms to soothe the savage breast, to soften rocks or bend a knotted oak. A savage breast is what we feel when we are alone too long. The year I was alone, I sat on the sofa and listened to the music that had mattered to me when I was young. Steppenwolf and Pink Floyd and Black Sabbath. Sitting in my apartment in Brooklyn that year when I couldn't easily leave the house, I listened. I was always shaking and hyperventilating. I felt my body pressed down as if by some weight that I could not see. It was a feeling of being crushed from every side. Maybe you've felt this. Sometimes I got up from the sofa and paced, but then I might stop to adjust the speakers. I put my gear on platforms made to dampen vibration, and I added big fat speaker cables. And as I fiddled with the system, it came to sound, to feel more and more close. I put on the music that I came to later in life, jazz and electronic and experimental music and Bartok and Mozart and Bach. My shoulders dropped. The muscles in my neck and face relaxed, and I breathed more deeply. I prayed, and I wept. I stood at the window and I watched the people on the sidewalk below, the parents with children, groups of friends, neighbors bringing home groceries. I thought of all of us who, like me at that time, lived in danger and in fear. A fear that might seem inexplicable, yet also concrete and real. Dear God, take care of my brothers and sisters. Take care of our families. Take care of the people in hospitals and on the streets. I put on records and prayed. I was, we could say, sitting in music. I wasn't wired. I was wire. The sound waves were wire, and the air in the room was wire, and the walls were wire, and the books in their shelves were wire, and my body was wire. I found my communion with others who were alone. And I might notice when I felt you near me that I was tapping my foot and my thoughts were, for the moment, clear, and that I could smile a bit. Thank you.
That was Russell G. Jones performing Music Will Be Important by Donald Antrim, which was published in The New Yorker.